With 6 months until Election Day, just how far are outside groups willing to go? Is anything off limits? And has it ever been this hard for a campaign to control its own message? Joining me now is Glenn Thrush, senior White House reporter for Politico, and Matt Welch, editor-in-chief of Reason Magazine. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
All right, Matt. Brian Baker, head of Ending Spending Political Action Fund, said he was immediately troubled by this. How does something like this even get out there? How does it happen, do you think?
Well, it happens because there's a lot of people spending money on campaigns and trying to get their messages across, and there are campaigns motivated. The Obama campaign is motivated to find everyone related to Mitt Romney who's going to say anything that seems weird, and that's what they're going to be seizing on and campaigning on for the next 6 months, because both sides don't actually want to campaign on the biggest issue that faces us, which is the debt and entitlements crisis that's looming over our heads.
Well, they may not have asked for this proposal specifically, but here's what Mr. Ricketts said when he saw the ad made in 08 that included Jeremiah Wright and President Obama. Quote, if the nation had seen that ad, they'd never have elected Barack Obama. And the super PAC president said that is a correct quote. Listen to this.
All of the media firms, as a part of their process to solicit business, would show us various ads they did for prior campaigns and candidates. Strategic Perception did show one ad that had been prepared for the McCain campaign and apparently rejected by Senator McCain. Now, Mr. Ricketts did respond in that way to that ad, but that is no way an inference or a suggestion or a request or anything like that, that we have a proposal based on Reverend Wright.
Glenn, so he says, we didn't want the proposal, but if you're Fred Davis, the guy who is, you know, going to put together this plan, and you see somebody's reaction, you hear someone say that, is it surprising that he pitched the right stuff?
No, it's not surprising. And by the way, I also agree that this is a huge conspiracy by the Obama campaign to obscure the discussion of entitlement reform. I think the issue here is Mitt Romney has lived by this sword of super PACs. This is what he used to dispose of his opponents in the primary campaign, and these are the elements that are going to be playing an extraordinarily large part of his campaign against Barack Obama this fall.
I want to make sure I'm clear about what you think is going on here, because do you think that this is just another day or two or more, maybe into the weekend on the Sunday talk shows, when the Romney campaign is forced off message?
I think the Romney campaign forces itself off message. Look, you know, I'm not making a judgment qualitatively about the issues involved here, but having covered a bunch of campaigns, I can tell you yesterday was a terrible day for them. They started off at the beginning of the day when reporters called them up and asked them to comment on this with a very, very sort of angry response. Why are we being asked this? We're going to give you an answer that you don't like. They gave their response to this was that the candidate opposed it, but they cloaked it in an attack on the Obama campaign. When that created a firestorm, Mitt Romney was later forced to answer questions at a press conference. At first, things were going really well. He distanced himself from the ad, but then he was reminded that on Sean Hannity's radio show a few months back, he said that, in fact, he thought Reverend Wright could be legitimately part of the campaign. And I just sort of think that that sort of mixed message is something that he himself has brought upon.
Yeah, and then he said he couldn't exactly remember it. And I mean, what the campaign at least said it wanted people to pay attention to is the fact that they're releasing this new ad on the economy. Let me play a little clip of that for you.
What would a Romney presidency be like? Day one, President Romney immediately approves the Keystone Pipeline, creating thousands of jobs that Obama blocked. President Romney introduces tax cuts and reforms.
So this is like the direct opposite of what a Jeremiah Wright ad would look like. I guess, you know, in the end, though, negative ads obviously really helped Mitt Romney in the primary. When you have a controversy like this, does it make people step back a little bit and be a little more nervous about putting negative ads out there?
I think what it does is that it continues the process, the long process of alienation that normal human beings have from politics. Because why are we talking about this? It's going to be 6 months of this. We're going to hear about Mitt Romney's dog Seamus another 75 times in the New York Times op-ed page. We're going to hear conservatives say, yeah, but Obama ate a dog according to his campaign bio. We're not going to talk about stuff that matters. Republicans have this fantasy that if we exhume past secret connections of Barack Obama, that suddenly the American populace is going to wake up. No, the American populace is saying, talk about stuff that matters, which is the economy, and it's the debt crisis. And so Republicans, if they can't run against Obama's own record, they are going to lose and deserve to lose.
All right, I want to bring in Tony Fredda, who is the former White House deputy press secretary for President George W. Bush and a CNBC contributor. Good to see you. Good morning, Tony.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay, you've been in that room when you get news about a bombshell like this. Give me your sense of what it was like for the Romney campaign from their perspective.
Well, look, everything like this is going to be tricky. I mean, Matt hit the nail on the head that we're talking about these kinds of, you know, really, you know, obscure things that the American people aren't sitting around thinking, you know, I wonder how Jeremiah Wright is going to play into this campaign this year, right? I mean, it's never shown up in a poll. No one's paying attention to it. And yet there it lands on the desk of the Romney campaign. They have to react to it, and they need
above
to react
the fold
to it.
In the New York Times.
Exactly, right? And so how do they deal with it? They need to, you know, they need to respond in a way that is consistent, that works today, and is going to work for every time they're asked, you know, a question on this topic from now till the end of the election, so that they can quickly transition to the, you know, issues that people care about, like the economy, jobs, healthcare, education, those issues. That's what they really need to do quickly, and do it deftly, and get the language right so that they can be consistent
on it. But Tony, you've got these dozens of super PACs out there. How much control do candidates have over what these folks say? I mean, obviously, in this case, you have to suggest that there might have been some pushback from the Romney campaign. Did somebody pick up the phone and say, you can't do this?
I'm sure somebody picked up the phone. They have to be careful about the, you know, their arm's length relationship, and often they're going to try to send messages through the media to people on the who are actually running super PACs. But look, you know, Mitt Romney was actually a victim of some of this in the primary also. We talked about how super PACs helped him get through the primaries, but remember that, you know, it was a Rick Santorum super PAC supporter in Foster Freeze who was out talking about contraceptives, right? And that became the dialogue of the late primary season, where Mitt Romney had to comment on contraceptives. In fact, all the candidates had to comment on contraceptives. And for a week, we're talking about contraceptives, which was the very last thing that the Mitt Romney campaign would have wanted to talk about that week. And it was because of a Rick Santorum super PAC financial contributor, right? So we have to, I think we need to get a little bit more mature with some of the super PACs and understand that neither candidate, not President Obama, not Mitt Romney, or any other candidates, are going to be able to own the views of every one of their supporters, and certainly not these arm's length super PACs, if we believe they really are arm's length. And if you're going to go out.
It does stay as part of the news cycle. I mean, we saw a very swift reaction yesterday on both sides of the aisle. Let me play, Tony, just a couple of clips.
Sure.
I read the article on the aircraft. As I read the article, I want to make it very clear. I repudiate that effort. I think it's the wrong course for a PAC or a campaign.
What was interesting to me is that this is all going to be funded by the owner of the Chicago Cubs. Well, I hope they're as successful with this campaign as the Cubs are on the baseball field.
I think these guys like that so misunderstand the state of the nation. They act like it's 1942.
I mean, Tony, is there really anything more that a candidate can do, like a Mitt Romney, than just denounce it and try to move on?
He has to denounce it and move on. And just as a you know, last note on that, Chris, is you know, if you're in Chicago, there are a lot of religions. There's actual religion. There's the religion of politics, and there's a religion of the Cubs. And if you mix all of those three together, it's going to blow up.
Yeah, and maybe that wasn't the, well, I mean, it's not like Nancy Pelosi's ever going to run for office in Chicago, but I wonder if Rahm Emanuel gave her a call and said,
probably.
Really? Did you have to diss my Cubs?
Exactly.
Tony Fredda, it's great to see you. Thank you so much.
Same here, Chris. Thank you.
So I guess part of my question is why this stuff keeps coming up. I mean, this, the Obama birth certificate controversy. I'm still not sure Donald Trump thinks that he was born in the United States. Is there some lingering anger, discontent on the right. What is it?
Oh, I mean, there's more than lingering anger and discontent on the right. There are people who think that the president has done a terrible job, and then there are people who have a more conspiratorial bent who think that only if America knew the real truth about his neo-anti-colonialism or whatever the hell. But I don't think this necessarily taps into all of that. We have to remember Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, but Mitt Romney just won the primary campaign not by talking about, oh, I'm going to reform Social Security and Medicare, and we're going to get our payments into line. He won by running against that. And so what are you going to talk about for the next 6 months, right? And what are your supporters going to talk about? They're going to try to rally their red meat base with tales of woe from the other sides. And both sides are going to do that right now. It'll be effective for their respective bases, but for the rest of the country, this is why the biggest block of voters right now are independents. They're not Democrats or Republicans in their self-identification. 40% of Americans are independents because they're tired of this, and they want a politics that is responsive to the actual problems that we have.
And Glenn, even if this doesn't have any impact on them eventually and how they vote, are you worried if you're in the Mitt Romney camp that this is just another example of how you're helping Barack Obama to fire up his base?
Nah, you know, I think, well, first of all, I think most people are, the big secret here is people don't want to talk about the economy. The economy is boring and depressing, right? I mean, and we've got 6 months of this, and people don't want to talk about the economy. They just want to have less anxiety about it. In terms of the Romney campaign, I think this is a significant problem. You have a conservative base that is still pretty skeptical of him, whether or not he's a true conservative, and you have literally hundreds of millions of dollars floating around there in the pockets of people who learned through the primary process that they can have a more direct impact on the campaign than just writing a check and asking the candidate, pretty please, can you advocate for my issues? So I think this is going to continue to be an issue because money talks, and Mitt Romney is not the guy who's writing the checks.
Yeah, and even if you're a guy who doesn't want to be in the middle of a controversy, there definitely are some rich guys are out there, aren't they, who could use essentially a political campaign to become something more than just known within the people who read Wall Street Journal and Forbes.
Well, actually, look what's happened in this case. I mean, Ricketts is now on his, heels. He's backpedaling, and it's going to potentially damage his ability to do what every sports owner does, which is get hundreds of millions of dollars from local government to build stadiums and that kind of thing.
Well, you heard Rahm Emanuel. I mean, Emanuel, he reacted very quickly and very negatively. So.
Sure.
He doesn't want to talk about this now. He doesn't want to talk about
the
Cubs.
Politics is a debasing sport. So most businessmen don't want to get in the business of debasing themselves or putting themselves
politics,
out there.
Politics is more debasing than business.
No, in terms of public perception, in terms
of
public perception, absolutely it is. It is by nature divisive. You're going to alienate 40% of your customer base by opening your mouth, right? If you're talking about politics, that's
why businessmen
don't do it for the most part.
Which is exactly why I think Rahm Emanuel will not pick too big a fight with Ricketts, because I think Emanuel needs those Cubs fans to get reelected.
There we got to the bottom line on this Friday, heading into the weekend. Glenn Thresh, thanks so much. Matt Welch, thank you for coming in.